appreciate his efficiency in getting through all the announcements. We had a lot. This is the time when we normally pray for the offering and speak about the offering. But if you were at the quarterly meeting last week, Jason gave us a good report. And, one of the things that we forget to do sometimes is thank the Lord. Amen. And we need to be so careful that when the Lord answers prayer, give him the glory and thank him. And, it's a time of giving to the Lord, a time when we give our tithes and offerings. But, it was in October last year that we were drawn together as the body out of desperation, financially, just saying, Lord, we have need. And since that day, and we've been consistently praying, the Lord has provided. And, if you look at the bulletin, we're actually in the black for this year so far. And that is, I dare say it hardly ever happened before we consistently began praying. And the Lord provided every year faithfully, but it's so good to see that he provided. And now my challenge is, let's not take our foot off the gas. We got to keep consistently praying. Next month, we're going to have another time of prayer together. We pray on Tuesday mornings and Wednesday mornings, but we need to consistently be praying and realizing that, yes, we are the ones that the Lord has entrusted the finances with, but he is the one that ultimately supplies. And so I want us to pray before we take up the offering and just give God the glory for what he has done. And then you'll have an opportunity to give. You can give online, you can give via text, it'll be up on the screen, or you can give in check or cash. But let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are the provider, and we give you the glory. We give you the glory for providing for your church. You promised to build your church, and you're the one that funds it, you're the one that provides. And Lord, we don't simply want to be amassing wealth. Lord, we want to be able to use it for your glory. And so Lord, as we are moving into a positive balance, Lord, I pray that you would direct us and lead us how you would want us to use these resources. And Lord, there may not be much, but Lord, we thank you that your supply never runs out. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can come forward. Thank you. Jason announced it, but just a reminder that the mission trip to Oklahoma, which we did last year, we're going to do again in June this year. If you're interested, you want to find out more about it, we'll be meeting in the dining room right after the service. And I know between now and then is a really extended period of time, and our minds forget things easily, but you're welcome to come and join us. Don't forget, right after the service. Let's pray together before we look at God's word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, that your word is relevant and speaks to us today. Lord, we want to hear from you now. We want you to speak to us. We don't want to hear just the thoughts and ideas of man. We want to hear from heaven. So, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. Challenge us, convict us. Transform us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you like good news?
I'm good.
One, two, not many people. We all like good news, right? I love good news. I think we all love good news. But today I want to share with you the best news that you could possibly ever hear as a Christian. The best news you would ever hear as a Christian. And if you truly get this today, it will change the way you respond in life. Change the way you respond to God. It's really good news. Now, we know the gospel is the good news, right? The gospel of God sending His only Son, Jesus, coming and living a perfect, sinless life, taking on flesh, how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. God raised Him back to life, and He paid the price for our salvation. That's good news. That's really good news, that we could be reconciled with God if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's what we come to the Easter time and celebration of Resurrection Sunday. We're reminded of the gospel, the price that was paid for our salvation. Many of us accept that. Yes, put our faith in Jesus Christ. But we still struggle to fully trust God. We struggle to fully trust God in the everyday life. Trust Him with the future, trust Him with our children and their lives, to fully trust God with our finances, for our daily bread. But today, if you grasp this news, this good news, it'll change everything. It's not hyperbole. It's not me just trying to get your attention. No, it really is the best news you could ever hear as a Christian. You know, last week we began this series as we're focusing towards Easter, and we looked at Abraham. And we looked at Abraham when the Lord tested him in Genesis chapter 22, when the Lord said, "Take your only beloved son and sacrifice him." Literally, put him to death in the mountain, the place that I will show you. And Abraham took his son, he took Isaac, and laid him on the altar. And God, we know, was testing Abraham. God stayed Abraham's hand and prevented him from killing his son, but He tested him in that. Now, we look back and we know that it was a test. Abraham didn't know at the time it was a test. He maybe suspected it, but the Lord was testing him to do the unthinkable thing. But we also know, looking back, it was a prophetic picture, a beautiful picture of Jesus on the cross. The sacrifice that was made for our salvation was portrayed with Abraham and Isaac hundreds of years before. The awesome price that God the Father paid for our salvation. We looked at that last week. But the question that I left you last week was, do I trust God enough that when He says, put that thing that we hold dear on the altar, do I trust God enough to put it on the altar? That thing that He's calling me to. Do I trust Him above all else? Do I worship Him above all else? Putting His will and His plans above my own will and my own plans. The news that I have for you today, again, if you get this message, if we grab hold of it, we will have no problem trusting God. No problem whatsoever trusting God. Whatever He brings your way, whatever He allows in your life, you'll have no problem trusting Him if we grasp this today. The problem with good news is that, you know, when something is too good to be true, probably too good to be true, right? And we are inundated by bad news. And we get good news and we become suspicious. We think, yeah, really? It can't be that good. I know that's going through your mind right now, right? No, it couldn't be that good. Let's look at God's word today. And I'm going to look at Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In fact, I think it's one of the most significant chapters in all of Scripture. And if you want to really encounter a transforming time with the Lord, read Romans chapter 8 every day for as long as you take. It'll change your life. There is so much truth and so much power in it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will so ingrain this truth in our lives today that we will walk differently. We will trust differently. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 31 to 39, just the last portion of Romans chapter 8. Beginning of verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge was constructed at a cost of $77 million. I was thinking about that. Today, they probably couldn't file a paperwork in California to build a bridge that size for that price. But actually, the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge took place in two different phases. The first phase was much slower than the second phase. The first phase of construction was extremely risky, very dangerous. In fact, 23 construction workers plunged to their death from the top of the towers and the cables. Fear gripped the workers. The construction workers were gripped by fear and worked slower and slower because they were seeing their friends, their co-workers dying. And it slowed them down. And someone ingeniously said, let's build a safety net. Let's put a net underneath the construction. And at a cost of $100,000, they built one of the largest nets to that time that had ever been built underneath the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge. And shortly after they put that, someone fell and was caught in the net. And then someone else fell, and about 10 people fell and were caught in the net. And the workers began to see that the net worked. There was safety in it. They trusted it. And work proceeded 25% quicker after the net was built than before the net was built, because they trusted the safety net. They trusted the construction. You know, this text that we're looking at today is somewhat like a safety net. There's at least five promises in this text today that we can look at and will remove fear and doubt from our lives. And every time we begin to fear and begin to doubt in our Christian walk, we can go back to these great promises and be reassured of who God is and what he has done for us. We don't have to fear the past. We don't have to fear the present or the future, because we're secure in the love of God. The extent to which we believe these promises determines how we're able to walk as followers of Jesus. It determines our fear, or being able to be victorious over fear. Are you ready for some fear-breaking promises? The first one, God is for us. God is for us. And we read that, we hear about it. No, he really is for us. Verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Our Heavenly Father is not disconnected. He's not a remote God who's just observing us. No, he is intimately involved with your life, and he is crazy about you. Your Heavenly Father loves you. The expense that God went to pay for our salvation is beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. The cross is not only where we see the outpouring of the wrath of God, we also see the unbelievable outpouring of the divine love of God for us on the cross. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his love for us, his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul's making the argument of the love of God in this whole letter to the church in Rome. God displayed his love for us in such a way that while we were still sinners, we didn't even want to know God. And he sent his son to die for us. How much more does he love us now that we have a relationship with him? We know him. His love doesn't change, obviously, but God loves you. He is for you. Peter writes in his letter in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You're special to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God is for you. You're his special possession. You're special to him. Jesus makes the same argument as he's wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And he is saying, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, because your Father knows about that. And he is saying that God takes care of the flowers in the field and the plants, and God takes care of the birds. How much more would he not be able to take care of you? You're his treasured possession. God is for you. And second promise is, God graciously gives us all things. God graciously gives us all things. Romans 8 verse 32, we read it. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's not just a few things. Give us all things. Our Heavenly Father gave his Son for our salvation, so that because of the cross, we can stand righteous. We can stand and declared in right standing with God, our Father, before him. And as a result of our standing before God, he blesses us. As a result of our standing before God, he gives us all things. The basic things that we need, but even the things we don't need. He gives us more than we could imagine. He gives us blessings all the time. God loves to bless his children. You know, just a silly example, and a silly example, it was a powerful example when we encountered, it was our 16th wedding anniversary. And Debbie and I were serving in Hawaii at the time, and we'd never been parasailing. And you know, you kind of see the cruise ships come in, and everybody's going parasailing every day. And we thought, we'd like to do that. And the Lord blessed us with some money to be able to do that. And we went parasailing, and it was a beautiful day. It was a perfect day, but that's every day in Hawaii. And as we took off, I don't know if you ride a parasail or you fly a parasail, I don't know, but as we took off and we looked down, there was a whale below us. And more than that, there was a calf with the whale. And the two of them were frolicking right below us. And wherever the boat went, this whale and calf would follow us. And we were about 200 feet in the air, just looking down at this mother and her calf playing. It was the most incredible sight. It was beautiful. And when we came down, the captain of the vessel said, I've never seen anything like that before. What did it look like? That's incredible. In all my years of doing this, I've never seen that before. That was God's gift to us. He just said, it's your wedding anniversary. I'm going to give you a gift. And he blessed us with that. You know, so often we miss these little blessings, these little gifts. We think, well, that was cool. No, your Heavenly Father gives you all things. You know, it's not like, our Heavenly Father's not like me. If my children come and, you know, buy them a slushie today and give them a gift today, and they come tomorrow and ask one, I'm like, no, you got one yesterday. No, that's come again in a week's time. No, our Heavenly Father loves to bless us every day. He's for us. He loves to lavish his gifts on his children. These unexplainable events, these things that happen every day, and we look back and say, That was pretty neat. That was God. That's His blessing, His much more. And the more you see those gifts from God, the more you just discern those gifts from God, because sometimes we need the Lord to reveal to us, no, that was my gift for you. The more we discern that, the more we grow in our love for Him. The more we realize His nearness, that His eye really is on you. He sees you, and He loves you. The third promise is that there's no condemnation. Verse 34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. You know, this incredible chapter in Romans chapter 8 is bookended by there is no condemnation. It begins with the verse that I read at the beginning of the service. Now, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Who can possibly condemn us? Verse 33, he says that it's God who justifies. He's declared us righteous before Him in Christ. If God agrees with the accuser, he's basically saying that what Jesus did on the cross has no effect. If God agrees with the accuser, if God agrees with Satan, his condemnation of us, then he is saying that what Jesus did has no effect. God does not agree with the accuser. There is no condemnation. Satan's accusations fall on deaf ears before God, because of what Jesus has done for us. We are God's chosen. We're God's beloved ones. Our experiences change. Our emotions change. We have good days and we have bad days. It doesn't change the fact that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We may fall. We sin. We repent. We allow the blood of Jesus to wash us clear of our sins, and we continue to move forward. No condemnation in Christ. Isn't that great news? The price has been paid for our salvation. Does this mean we can continue to sin? Does this mean we just get up every morning and say, well, I'm no condemnation, I can keep on sinning? No, Paul addresses that two chapters earlier in Romans chapter 6. Shall we go on sinning? And he says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. We died to that old way of life, remember? How can we live in it any longer? But when we do sin, and we all do, when we're convicted by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we're convicted of our sin, we repent. And we go back to 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation. Sometimes our emotions have to catch up with reality. Because Satan lies to us. Oh no, you've sinned. You've done this. All of these things. He'll bring back to our minds. We have to allow our emotions to catch up to the reality, the fact that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The fourth promise is Jesus is interceding for us. The second part of verse 34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He's also interceding for us. You know, we have different pictures and ideas of, if I was to say to you, someone's interceding for you, and we think of people sitting quietly, or someone sitting quietly, or maybe kneeling in prayer, eyes closed and hands clasped, and, you know, maybe just quietly saying some prayers. I mean, that's intercession, right? It's praying deeply for someone else. I don't believe that's what Jesus is doing. Because Jesus, where is He located? He's at the right hand of the Father. He is talking to the Father. He's in relationship with the Father. He is interceding for you and bringing your prayers to the Father. He's not quietly hoping God hears Him. No, He is in relationship with the Father. He's interceding for you. He is your advocate, the Bible says. He's the high priest, the one that goes between, the only one who's in the presence of God who can intercede for us, and He is interceding for us. And it's not a 30-second be with prayer. I had to throw that in. Don't pray, be with prayers. If you want to know more about that, I'll explain it later. No, he is praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's talking to the Father about you. But not only is he the high priest, our advocate who's interceding for us, we also have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Do you realize that? Romans 8:27, just a few verses before, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What a wonderful promise that is. So we have Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding, praying for us, and we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, praying for us as well. What an incredible promise. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Always lives to intercede for them. He's able to save completely. Jesus is interceding for us. That's his ministry. And it assures us that we're secure. We're covered. He's praying for us. And then the final one that we struggle to get. We truly struggle to fully understand. You are loved. You're loved with an irresistible, unconquerable love. Verse 35 to 39, Paul is it's like he is just bursting out in a hymn of praise to God, trying to wrap his mind around the love of God. And it's just too big for him, and he just starts flowing with words of trying to express the love of God for his children. Do you know how much you are loved? We don't. We're unable to grasp it. But nothing can separate us from his love. No trouble, no hardship, no persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. And then Paul quotes Psalm 44. And Psalm 44, if you read, is actually written by the sons of Korah. And if you look at their psalms, a lot of them speak about the end times, the tribulation and Jesus coming again, the incredible hardship that's going to come on the world that the world has not yet seen. That's what the context that they are literally singing about in Psalm 44. Persecution and suffering that we have no idea how bad it's going to be. And he was saying that God loves us in the midst of that. He loves us through that. The reality of this life is that there's hardship. There's challenges, there's pain, there's suffering. Sickness. It's a lie of the prosperity gospel to say that as a follower of Jesus, you should have no sickness, no pain, no suffering. It's all going to be good, and you'll be perfectly wealthy. That's not the reality that we live in. Not to say that God is unable to rescue us from these things, but he allows these things to grow us in our relationship with him, to draw near to us as we draw near to him in times of suffering and pain and persecution and loss. The world is full of pain, but God uses the pain, those difficult circumstances, for our good. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. God doesn't shelter us from difficulties and pain and hardship because we need them. We grow through them. He grows us. Our spiritual lives need to have some tension, some difficulty to grow in our knowledge and our faith in God. It's our spiritual health. God assures us that these difficulties in life, he is working through for us, not against us. He is for us. God permits trials to come that he might use them for our good, but for his glory. So if God allows the trials and he loves us perfectly, when we're going through these trials and hardships, do we think that he has deserted us? that, oh, now I'm going through a moment of or a season of difficulty and challenge. It feels like God is remote. God has left me and abandoned me. But no, that's when He is closest to us. That's when He is right there. If you could get any closer, that's the time that He is close to you. It's like a parent whose child has hurt herself or himself. The parent rushes to care for that child. I remember clearly, it was many years ago. I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I had a bad bicycle accident. My brothers and I were riding, and it had just been raining, and the sides of the road were full of mud. And my brother had taken off ahead, and I was chasing him. And I was sprinting as fast as I could on this bicycle, head down, and I wasn't looking where I was going. And he had stopped in front of me. And I just went straight into the back of him. And I took off. I flew over the handlebars, and I landed face first in the mud. And on the way exiting the bike, I caught myself on one of the little clips on the bike and managed to gash my leg quite badly. And I came up, I was full of mud, my leg was bleeding, and I was bruised and battered, and all I wanted was my mother. And so I ran home crying, and I was full of mess and blood. And I came in the house, and my mother looked at me and said, "Go and clean yourself up. Go and, what on earth? Just, I'm not even going to look at your blood coming out of your leg. Go and get all that mud off you and clean yourself up first before I even take a look at you." No, she didn't do that. That's not what my mother did. No, she picked me up. She ran a hot bath. She washed me. She cleaned me up, and she took all the mud off, and then she attended to my wound. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. Yeah. We come to Him and we're full of mud because we've messed up. Yeah. And He picks us up and He says, "Let me wash you. Let me clean you." He doesn't say to us, "Now go clean yourself up and then come back to me." Our Heavenly Father loves us. His love for you is immeasurable. And when we're at our worst, when we're at our messiest, that's when He's nearest. Because of His love for us. Verse 37 continues, "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We're super conquerors through Him who loved us. He gives us victory over victory. Paul goes on to write, "We don't have to fear life. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear angels or demons or principalities or powers, things present or the future. There's nothing. There's no supernatural power that we have to fear. We don't have to fear height or depth. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." It's not a conditional promise. It's not a, "Man, if you can muster up enough faith." No, that's the truth. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And it's based on the victory that Jesus has won. His victory becomes our victory. The security in Christ is an established fact. It's not something we have to hope for. It's an established fact that we have security in the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate you from His love. Believe it. Rejoice in it. Be glad. We're free from judgment because Jesus died for us and He took the punishment that was due to us. We are declared righteous in God's eyes because of what Jesus has done. We are free from defeat because we have the Spirit of God living in us and we share His life. We get to share the victorious life of being a follower of Jesus. We are free from discouragement because Jesus is coming again. No matter what happens in the world around us, we know how it ends. And we don't have to be discouraged. We're free from fear because Christ is interceding for us. He's praying for us, and we shall one day share in His glory. We cannot be separated from His love. There's no condemnation and no separation. What a wonderful promise. Isn't that the best news you've ever heard? It's good news. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's good news. But do you believe it? Because if you believe it, it changes everything. When God says, I want you to put this on the altar, we don't have a problem doing that because he's for us. When he says, I want you to sacrifice this thing that you're holding on to, we have a safety net. We can trust him. We can run with him because we know he's for us. His promises are secure, and he is true in all his ways. It changes the way we respond in life. It changes the way we respond to the leadership of God over our lives. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in doubt. We don't have to walk in uncertainty because we know these promises are true. We walk in perfect love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Warren Wiersbe wrote, the more we love God, the more we understand the love of God. And the more we understand his love, the easier it is for us to trust him. After all, when you know someone intimately and love him sincerely, you have no problem putting your confidence in him. And that's what happens as we become as followers of Jesus. When we were first saved, we're still living in the past. There's fear all around us. We're anxious for things. We're uncertain about things. And the more we grow in our knowledge of his love for us, we grow in our confidence. We grow in our faith. We grow in our ability to follow the Lord's leadership because we're learning that he loves us. We're learning that we can trust him, that his promises are true. And after a while, that fear begins to diminish, and because we're beginning to realize that we can fully trust him with everything. There's nothing God tells you to do that you'll be on your own to do. Do you fully trust him? And when we fully trust God, it changes everything. That's maturing. That's maturing as a believer. That's the process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Wiersbe goes on to say, a growing confidence in the presence of God is one of the first evidences that our love for God is maturing. Because we truly know and love God. So where are you today? Do you believe how much you're loved? Do you really believe that he loves you? Above all else, immeasurably. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're missing out. You're going to walk in fear. You're going to walk in uncertainty and doubt. You're missing out on these promises that I've just spoken about. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're missing out on these promises. Maybe you need to give your life to him today as Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to begin that process of growing in the understanding of God's love for you. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord today just to say, yes, I have slipped and I've fallen away, but I want to get back into that relationship with God where I know and experience that love that he has for me. Maybe you're going through a tough season. You just need to be reminded of these promises. You need to be reminded, yes, he is for me. Jesus is interceding for me. He gives me all things. You need to be reminded of that today. Just to walk again in freedom, to walk again in power in your life. Our ministry team is going to come up in a little while and we're going to close. But some of you today just need to know God's love for you. And when we talk about the love of the Father, some people really struggle with that. They really struggle to identify with that because we have broken fathers. We all have broken fathers. Something that I've done a number of different places in a number of different ministry environments is inviting people to come to receive a hug from a father. And to do that today, and our prayer team will come up and do ministry, and you can come up for prayer for any one of these things that the Lord has been speaking to you today, just maybe that assurance of his love for you. But If you want a hug, I know it sounds silly in a church environment, but the Father loves to give you a blessing and a hug. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you today, we've got some men who are fathers who want to pray for you and just bless you. I invite you to take advantage of that today. We did this at one school, and I think we had children lined up for about an hour just wanting a hug. Because they came from so many broken homes and difficulties and challenges. It's the reality that we face in this world. We don't know the love of God. Do you know the love of God today? So don't hesitate. Just, and again, you don't have to come up for a hug if you don't want to, but if the Lord is speaking to you and you need prayer for anything in your life, that maybe one of these promises you don't fully believe, have someone come and pray for you today, please take advantage of this time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for these promises. We thank you for the incredible truth that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May we encounter your love today in a tangible way. Lord, even as maybe we leave this place, Lord, that we'd be on the lookout for ways that you want to display your love for us. Lord, I pray that you would restore brokenness today. Just bring healing. Remove the shackles, the pain and the suffering that has become a burden. Lord, we pray that you would just pour out your love and bring healing. May we have a greater understanding of your incredible love for us. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our ministry team can come forward, and we're going to close with one song. And again, don't hesitate to come for prayer, but would you just stand with me and join us as we close in song.